Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Should put this here. We read this a little bit ago in our Bible reading. Let's look at it once again. Maybe something will stand out to you. I know by the time the message is over, you'll have a lot better understanding of this passage and how important it is to your life. This is something that each of us should take to heart. And, you know, men can only think of one thing at one time. Now, there have been moments where I've thought of three things at once, usually from the pulpit. But women can follow conversations. If we put a whole table of women around a table, they're all talking at the same time, and yet they're all understanding what everybody else is talking about. Men, we can't do that. If we're watching the baseball game, the football game, or we're watching NASCAR, and you come in trying to talk to us, we either got to quit watching NASCAR and listen to you, or keep watching NASCAR and go, mm-hmm, yes, dear. And so we can't do two things at once. So Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, once again. Now it happened as they went, Jesus and his disciples, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him, the Lord Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Father, bless your word now to our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Speak to our hearts by your Spirit that we might learn what we're supposed to do. But we pray for your grace and your strength, your desire in us to live it out, to be courageous, to take your word seriously and try to put it into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There are temptations that come to us to which we are prone to fall into. Some have certain sins, others have certain besetting sins. Certain sins that we all to some degree are guilty of. And there are things that are not sinful in their place, but they become sinful when we let them distract us or steal our time, or when they make us worry. For instance, it's not a sin to work. But if you're fretting all the time, you're working, or you're negative or critical all the time you're working, that is sinful. And so there are things that are not sinful in their place, but they become sinful when we let them distract us or steal our time, or when they make us worry. It was good for Martha to prepare a meal for Jesus and the disciples and her family, but it became a snare, a trap, when she frustrated and busied herself too much over it. Now, Jesus loved Martha. He loved her sister Mary. He loved their brother Lazarus. He even raised him from the dead. He loved to stay in their home. And when he was near Jerusalem, they were blessed with his gracious visits time and again. So, when Martha frustrated herself with an over-careful, anxious, busy spirit, Jesus sweetly admonished her to concern herself with the most important thing. Martha, Martha, Jesus said, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So first of all, Martha's life was too fretful and distracted. Martha's mind was distracted by multiplied things. You read in the passage, Martha, Martha, you were worried and troubled about many things. Not just the meal. Not just how company was relaxing. She was worried and troubled about many things. Our mind cannot devotedly serve more than one thing at a time. Not with our full devotion. Not with our whole heart or our attention. Jesus said, and I want you to, when he says the eye is bad, I want you to remember that word bad, because we're going to come back to it and tell you exactly what it means. Jesus said this, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That word for bad there, if your eye is bad, the Greek word is poneros. This is what it means. It means full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pressed and harassed by labors, toils, annoyances. Doesn't mean bad in a moral, evil way. It means distracted, full of labors, annoyances, hardships, pressed by labors, toils, annoyances, things that irritate. That's what it means. It means to be distracted. It means to have your mind filled with, how am I going to pay the bill after work? Oh, I got to go to the DMV today. And you get negative and grouchy, and someone in your family or one of your friends, and you're distracted, you have to do all these other things. You kind of snip at him, you grouch at him, you say, you complain. And instead of being somebody who shows the joy and the peace of Christ, what Jesus means to you, how much you love him, you are full of labors, annoyances, hardships, harassed by toils and labors. And then, as we see in the scripture, whenever this word shows up, it means that it is a time full of peril to Christian faith and steadfastness. It's a time where we make bad decisions. We feel like, oh, everything's crowding around here, so let me say something to stop this person. Let me do something to change this here. And we begin to choose our own way instead of being at peace and asking God to lead us. So secondly, not only is Martha's mind distracted by multiplied things, which is the meaning of the word if your eye is bad, but Martha's mind was tortured with too much care. Martha's mind was tortured with too much care. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried. It is good to care and to work diligently, but not to the point of worry, anxiousness, stress. That makes the mind gloomy and fretful. Your mind must have calm. Your mind must have quiet and enjoyment, or you will lose your emotional calmness, your logical thinking. You'll begin to make decisions on your emotions or your worry when you're not supposed to. Your mind must have calm. God did not save you. God did not reveal himself to you. God did not bring you to himself that you would be tortured and torn with anxiety and worry and fear. We see in the Bible there's 366 times the Bible says, do not worry, do not be anxious, fret not, fear not. It's telling us to be at repose in our heart. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and that word for peace mainly deals with a word we use called tranquility. He's the peace of sereneness, of tranquility, of peace, of possessing our own minds and hearts and not letting the cares of this world distract us or make us worry or fret or negative. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What a great verse. Paul tells it in these words. He says, do not be worried over anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you know it was a command in the Bible? Don't worry about anything. Over and over again, the Bible says, in your patience you possess your souls. Fret not, fear not, over and over again. One of my favorite Bible promises is Isaiah 41:10, where it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold you by the right hand of my righteousness. I love that verse, and there's many like them. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Martha, it's not sinful to make a meal for Jesus and his disciples. It's not sinful to be busy about things, but it's sinful to be tortured and negative and complaining and irritated. That you're not enjoying God's blessings, his provisions. I remember above the kitchen sink in my Aunt Margie's house, there was a point, I don't know if I can remember it all, but it says, thank God for dirty dishes, for they have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we're still eating well. And that's the way you look at things. You know, I hate washing dishes. Well, bless God. That's a blessing from God. It shows that he's taking care of you. You know, how many of you have a kitchen window that when you have the dirty dishes in your sink, you can look outside while you do your dishes? You don't have one? Well, I do, but I'm looking right at my neighbor's nasty house and a dirty part of her lawn and a broken window. But I used to be that I could look out a window when I did the dishes and watch the birds flying around, watch my dog playing in the backyard. And you could whistle a tune or you could sing. So I don't like you singing in the kitchen. Well, then you come do the dishes and sing. I'll watch the news or what have you. Martha's mind was tortured with too much care. Martha was distracted to the point of her heart being troubled. Her heart was bereft of peacefulness. No serenity and no happiness. Martha was troubled about many things, Jesus said. He looked at her heart and mind. He could see through just her outwardly being negative and see all the many things she was worried about. She was troubled about. She was troubled not just about dinner and feeding Jesus and his disciples and her brother and sister, but she was fearful about her relationships. She was worried about her finances. She was concerned about her friends. Some of her friends may not have been feeling well, or she was worried about what they were thinking about her. Maybe she was concerned about her family. Her heart was a troubled heart, and it was troubled over many things. And here she is, a born-again, blood-washed, Bible-believing child of God with Jesus in her house, and she's worried about many things. See, a born-again Christian isn't perfect. We're forgiven. But one thing that should be more about us is the joy of Christ. Are your sins not all forgiven? Not only has Jesus forgiven you everything, but he doesn't remember them anymore either. Like a thick cloud, I've blotted out your transgressions. I've cast them in the deepest parts of the sea. I've put them behind my back, God says. I've cast your sins behind my back. What's behind God's back? Doesn't he see everything? In other words, I put your sins into oblivion. He says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, if all you had, the only blessing you had, was that God loved you enough that he left heaven, was born of a virgin for the purpose of dying for your sins at the cross, if the only blessing you had was that God loved you, came and died for your sins and rose again, you are of all people most rich. But he loads us with 10,000 blessings besides. And here she is looking at, we're going to need some more Campbell's soup, and we're going to do this, and how am I going to get it done in time, and this, that, and the other thing. But here this whole time, Jesus is sitting right there in her house. Martha's fretfulness and distractions led to other sins. That's my second point. Martha's fretfulness and her distractions led to other sins. What other sins, Ross? Brother Ross? They're mentioned right here. Notice that Jesus really wanted her undivided attention to what he was going to admonish her about. He said, Martha, Martha. There are a few times in the Bible where God uses a person's name twice. And that means when he wants their undivided attention. Remember when Abraham took Isaac up on the Mount Moriah, the same mount that where Jesus was crucified, Mount Calvary. And he's about to plunge the knife into Isaac's breast. And God speaks and says, Abraham, Abraham, says his name twice. When Jesus called Saul to himself, who later became Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Jesus used his name twice. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And then when Peter was telling Jesus, Lord, no, don't, you don't need to suffer. Please, you know, Jesus saying, I'm going to be taken by wicked hands and crucified, and 3 days later I'll rise again. Peter said, far be it from you, Lord. Then Jesus turned to him and said, Simon, Simon, get thee behind me, Satan, is what he said there. But then he told him, Simon, Simon, Satan had desire to have you. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And here's the other time, God called to Moses saying, Moses, Moses. And now, the second time in the New Testament, Jesus says, Martha, Martha. What he says afterwards must be very, very important. And it is to all of us. For what this fretfulness, this worry, this anxiety leads to other sins. First of all, she was not seeking the better things. She was reproved by the Son of God for not seeking better things. Here in her own home was the Son of the living God, her virgin-born Savior, the true and only Savior from sins. No one else you can turn to, nothing else where you can go and have your sins forgiven. Here was her Creator, the one who formed her little bones inside her mommy's womb. Here's the one that gave her life. Here's the one that is giving his life for her. Her Creator, her Lord, her Savior, God Himself in human flesh. Yet instead of being a devoted listener to His words, instead of praying and singing His praises while she made the meal ready, instead of taking advantage of this great, great privilege, she was troubled about lesser things. Does not over-carefulness produce a neglect of the Bible for us? We're stressed out, we get ruffled, we start thinking about all we have to do. I'm telling you, this is the best way to get a to-do list. Take in time for important things like reading the Bible and praying. And while you're reading the Bible, you think about these other things. You might as well just take a paper and put a to-do list. Because Satan is going to remind you of everything you have to do to get you distracted from the Word of God. Start praying. Start coming and seriously pray. And you'll remember what you've got to get done and this, that, and the other thing. And how's this going to work out? You might as well write it down. Because Satan is going to remind you of everything you have to do to distract you from prayer. Instead of getting close to God. He keeps you away from it by distractions and cares and worries. Over-anxiousness made Martha critical and negative. Notice what she says and who she says it to, it, how she says it. Over-anxious made her critical and negative. She said here, my sister has left me to serve alone. She became bitter at those who weren't doing their part in her plan. You see, do you ever get bitter at those that don't do their part in your plan? Maybe you're driving down the freeway on your way to work or to go get something at the store, and the other drivers aren't cooperating with your plan on how they should drive. In fact, they do the exact opposite. Where are the police when you need them the way some of these people drive? She's saying to Jesus, my sister has left me to serve alone. In other words, she became bitter at those who weren't doing their part in her plan. She complained and fussed instead of praying and praising. Instead of going to her sister kindly and saying, Mary, could you help me get the meal ready for Jesus? It'll only take a couple minutes. Could you help set the table? And I'll get this ready. And so she doesn't do that. Instead, she goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, you better tell her what to do. Right? You see that? Martha's fretfulness caused her to treat even her Savior with disrespect. Notice what she says here in verse 40. Lord, do you not care? Do you not care? This is not amazing. He is giving his, he would be soon, not many days after this, giving his life on the cross for her. And she asked him, do you not care? Do you not see? Do you not love me? And he says to her, Martha's fretfulness, Lord, do you not care? And then he said, tell her to help me. Verse 40. And so all this fretting caused Martha to show disrespect to Jesus. In other words, she thought she could correct the Lord and tell him what he should do. In other words, Lord, do you not care? Tell her to do this. In other words, she's correcting Jesus. You should have taken care of this problem. You see how busy I am. Why didn't you tell the others to get up and help me out? Goodness gracious. All this started because of all these anxieties, all these cares, all this fretfulness caused other sins. Lord, do you not understand? Don't you see? Don't you care about what I'm going through? Why don't you do what's right and straighten all these other people out so I can have my way? Right? All this fretting caused Martha to be rebuked by her Savior. Remember, Jesus, in other words, comes to her here and says, Martha, Martha, you want me to rebuke Mary, but she has chosen the one thing needful. She is sitting at my feet, praying to me, asking me questions, learning from me. In other words, one thing is needed. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Spiritual food, spiritual clothing, spiritual health, spiritual riches should come before worldly cares. We do have to deal with worldly cares, but we can do them in a sound mind, in a confident heart. The word confident is interesting. It comes from confideo, which means with faith in God. Con means with. Fide means faith. Deo means God. With faith in God. Paul learned the secret, and he had said this in Philippians, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to that which is before, I press toward the mark for the prize, which is the high calling of God in Christ. She's told us what it was earlier, said, this one thing I do, I want to know Him. This is what I desire. I want more of Jesus in my life. Do not lesser things crowd out the most important things. What's most important is time with Jesus, time with family, time with friends, time to take care of your own heart when you feel fear and worry or stress coming. Get close to Christ, who's the Prince of Peace. Now I want you, as we close, to ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself these questions. Has fretfulness and worry ever produced any good results? Has fretfulness or worry ever produced any good results? I've made decisions when I was stressed out, and they've always been the wrong decisions. I always tried to get ahead of the Lord. I always tried to make something happen instead of letting God take care of it. And the times that I messed up, I was stressed. Has fretfulness and worry ever produced any good results? There have been times when I've had to confront people about sins, and I really don't like doing that. I lay awake at night thinking, how can I do this? How can I bring repentance or change in this person's life? How can I restore this brother or sister? And I've laid awake at night worried about it. A confrontation. I don't like confrontations. Do you? How many of you just love getting into conflict and confrontations? And I'd worry, and it kept me from sleeping. And the next day, God would have taken care of it. And so many times he would, other times he would give me just the right words to say. It would break the other person's heart and all would be made well. But the results of my worry only kept me from sleep, never produced any good results. But trusting God and putting things in His hands did. Let me ask you this question. How much joy, how much peace, how much energy, how much creativity has worrying robbed from you? How much more could your energy and creativity have been used for good results if you weren't so worried about things? You know, a lot of times people go into depression because of worry and fear and anxiety. They get into depression, they stay in bed, and they don't get anything done. They cause the people that love that person the most to worry the most about them, and they bring everybody down around them. Let me ask you this. How much of your life has been wasted by worry and anxiety? How much time have you wasted by walking around fretful all day? How am I going to make the car payment? How am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to get my brakes fixed? I get called into the boss's office later today. What am I going to do? What are they going to talk to me about? What did I do now? Isn't it enough yet? I remember when my pastor... Well, the pastor that I had years ago, many years ago now, but he had said something that came back to my mind. He said, worry is a sin. How many of you have ever heard that? I've heard it so much, and it finally got to me. Worry is a sin. So I seriously took this issue to the Lord, and every time I started to worry, I confessed it as sin. Lord, please forgive me. I started to worry about how I'm going to pay the electric bill. Lord, please forgive me. I started worrying about how I'm going to deal with this issue, this meeting coming up. And Lord, please forgive me. After a while, after confessing worry is sin, the Lord took my worry away. I've told you that. There was a space in my life, about 7 years, that I did not worry about anything. And I think that's added years to my life. Now I've got in the area where I'm fretful again, and I need to do what I did before and confess every fear, every worry, every stress to the Lord as sin. Please forgive me for this sin of worry. And please help me to walk and abide in You. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So, Jesus asked, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to their stature? Which of you by worrying can change anything in your life? He would come to us and say, listen, I've told you hundreds of times in the Bible, don't fret, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't stress out. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall have the sufficient evil of itself. Take no thought for what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Lastly, remember this about all the things you stress over. You will soon leave all these cares behind you forever. You will no longer fret yourself about your house, your money, what others think about you, or any other worldly care. You're going to leave all these things behind. Therefore, wisdom teaches you to think of heaven and your eternity, about what will matter the most. If you must be filled with cares, be filled with cares of the day you're going to meet God and the cares of your eternity in heaven, the cares of the loved ones and family and friends who need Christ as their Savior. Let that be your care. Then take that care, as the Bible says, casting all your cares on Him, for He tenderly watches over you. Heavenly Father, bless Your word to our hearts. Bless our time around Your table. Help us, Lord, to realize so many times we snap and we get grouchy, we get negative, we get critical, and we get ashamed of ourselves for behaving in such a way. When all it began with, was being troubled over things, people not going along with our plan, stressing over things that are indifferent, when worry has never helped us before. We pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's, this is the time of our service where we